Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the forepost, he's waiting and watching for you and for me.
It's good to be here. I do want to give you an update on Brother Tommy. He is in the rehab facility, moved in there on Friday evening, and doing better. Still is dealing with a lot of pain. The surgery that he had on his broken femur was a difficult surgery, in the words of the doctor. And so there's just a lot of healing that's needed now, and so continue to pray for him. Pray that he will heal.
Amen.
Quickly, fully, and that the nurses and the therapists that will be working with him will be kind.
Amen.
Okay? So, because he's got other problems than just that femur. You know, his back is not in proper shape in and of itself. And so he's been having a lot of pain with that too, because prior to the broken femur, he was at least able to turn over at night and when he was laying down. And when he has to stay in one position for a long time, his back really gets to hurt me. So he's got more than one problem here. So just continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for Miss Brenda as well. They're under a lot of pressure, and so just pray that God's grace be all over them and His peace.
Amen.
Okay? Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to be talking this morning about prudence. Prudence. What does prudent mean? It means marked by circumspection. Cautious, provident, making provision for the future, frugal, saving. The opposite of prudent is indulgent, squandering, unthrifty, or wasteful. Solomon had a lot to say about prudent people and the need to be prudent. In fact, here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3, we're going to read this verse, but in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12, it repeats word for word what we're fixing to read here in verse 3. So when God repeats himself, it's almost like he's really trying to drive something home to us. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing us to this particular passage this morning. Lord, I do pray that you would help me to relay your message to your people accurately today. Lord, help us. Open our ears, open our hearts. Lord, help us to focus on you and your word and what your Holy Spirit is saying to us. Lord, help us to reject the thoughts that are trying to distract us from your word. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what is prudence? And does God give it to some and not to others? Is there anything that I can do to acquire prudence? Prudence is certainly valuable to have, especially when you consider the true definition of it, what it really means. When you consider how easy it is to make a wrong decision, it really increases the importance of having prudence. How many of you can look back on your life, whether it be years and years ago or yesterday, and remember a bad choice that you made, that prudence would have really helped?
Yep.
All of us, I'm sure, right? I certainly have. Prudence and wisdom are close, but they're not the same. Wisdom is the God-given ability to use the knowledge that you have in a current situation. Prudence is the ability to make the current decisions with the future reward or consequences in mind. There's a little bit of difference. Prudence seems to be looking towards what's going to happen with my decision. Whereas wisdom is looking at the here and now of how I am applying the knowledge that God has given me. God does give prudence to those who are seeking Him. Which leads me to a question. Are you seeking Him? What does that mean, Brother Bruce? What does it mean for me to seek God? Well, it means that the only place you can really find out what God is like is in His Word. He's not going to use history books, comic books, fiction books. The only thing that gives us a clear description of God is His Word. Amen. Are you seeking God in His Word? Daily. In God's Word, He helps us to see what we're supposed to be doing. Many times even when we're supposed to be doing it and why we're supposed to be doing it. So if we're not seeking God and His plan on a regular basis, how are we going to know what He's like and what His plan for us is? We're not. If you're like me, you have probably bought something that required assembly. And it looks simple. Who needs instructions, right? Throw that away and just start putting it together, right? Well, I've done that. You've done that. How well does that work? You get it almost completely done, and for some reason, those last three parts just are not going on properly. Why? Well, you probably missed a step or two, right? Now you're in trouble. Now you got to take it back apart and spend more time putting it together than you should have if you would have simply read the instructions. I know that sounds simple. But in life, we can't go back. We have to just live with the decision that we made and the consequences of it, or the rewards of it. It makes me think of a comment that somebody told me one time. He said, at the end, one day, you're going to say, I'm glad I did. Or you're going to say, I wish I had. But at that point, you can't go back and remake that decision or those decisions, right? So prudence is a valuable thing to have. And it's evident in God's Word that He does give us prudence. And He doesn't just choose who He's going to give it to and who He's not going to give it to. He gives it to those who seek Him. And He doesn't give it to those who don't seek Him. So step one to acquiring prudence is to seek after God. And by the way, I want to be clear right here. You don't seek after God so that you get prudence. You seek after God so that you can get to know God. We seek after God because that's why He made us, for fellowship. Amen. He wants fellowship. If you read the very beginning of Genesis, it's evident that when God created Adam, that they had fellowship daily, sweet fellowship. There was no division between Adam and God. There was nothing in Adam that said, uh-oh, here he comes. Until sin entered the picture. And then that's exactly what he said. Uh-oh, here he comes. hide, then there was division. But ultimately, God created mankind for fellowship. Are you fellowshipping with Him? Daily? Regularly? Throughout the day? How do we fellowship with God? Through prayer. That's why Paul the Apostle said, pray without ceasing. Why did he say that? Because God wants us to have fellowship with Him without ceasing. Now, I'm not saying you need to be on your knees all day. You can pray while driving. In fact, sometimes that's a good time to be praying. With your eyes open, I should add.
Amen.
Sometimes it's good to pray right before walking into a particular business meeting that you're going to have at work. Or maybe right before walking into your house after work. There's all kinds of opportunity for us to have fellowship with God and to be asking Him for help, for wisdom, and for prudence. But we don't go to God and pray and seek Him just so that we can get prudence and just so that we can make some good choices. Fellowship is key. Getting to know God is top priority. Acquiring prudence is just a side item. Now, once God has given you prudence, you have to exercise it, or it really doesn't have any value. And remember what prudence is. Prudence is, the definition is marked by circumspection, cautious, provident, making provision for the future. Frugal, saving. God has blessed me and you with the ability to read. I'm assuming everybody in here can read. Then He's also blessed us with His Word. So what good is it to have a copy of God's Word if we don't pick it up and read it and study it and meditate on it? It's kind of like those directions that we got with that thing that needed assembly, and we just threw it to the side. Don't need that. This past week, I was putting up a light at our shed house. That's what we call it. It's a shed that was turned into a little house, kind of like a tiny house, and over in West Florida. And we were staying in it, and I was putting a light up at the front so that at night when we're walking up to it, it'll come on when it senses motion. So I looked at the directions. I read the directions. I installed it according to the way the directions said to. And that night, it didn't light up. And I'm over there waving at it, dancing in front of it, doing all kinds of stuff, and it didn't light up. So the next day in the daylight, I got up there and checked everything, found out that I'd pinched a wire, and it didn't have electricity going to it. So I fixed that, put it all back together, and then waited for the sun to go down again. And when it did, I went out there, and it still didn't light up. I looked at the directions again and did everything according to the directions and still didn't light up. So the next day, one of the guys that showed up, he was an electrician. I said, man, come over here and help me with this. He got up on the ladder and he's looking at it and he said, there's no light here. This is just a motion sensor. And I told him, I said, look, this is only between you and I. Okay?
It was.
And it was until I just let the cat out of the bag right here, right now. How dumb was I? The directions did not say that you must install a light with this fixture.
There you go. That'll work.
Well, at least I know now what I need to do. But I read the instructions, and I did install it according to the instructions and so on. But all I'm saying is sometimes, or not sometimes, but all of the time, it's important to read the instructions. There will be times in your life that you're going to get distracted away from the instructions. Who do you think's distracting you from God's instruction? Satan. Satan is the one that's trying to distract us from God's instruction. Why is he doing that? Because he doesn't want us to fellowship with God. He doesn't want us to even think about God. He doesn't want us to obey God. He wants us to do anything but what God said to do. Why? Because he wants to destroy you and I. How's he doing with that? Is he distracting you from reading the instructions? If he is, you're headed down a wrong road. And you might be carrying somebody with you. Be careful. We need prudence. The wise, according to Proverbs 14:8, exercises prudence by spending adequate time considering his or her plans for the future. You want to turn there? Proverbs 14:8. We're going to read that. The Bible says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. His way is his direction of life. Where are you headed? Or are you a leaf in the wind, just kind of floating, doing whatever comes natural or whatever comes your way? Where are you headed? You know, when you're not being deliberate to do the things that are prudent, to do the things that God wants you to do, then what is it that you're doing? If we're not following God's plan, then whose plan are we following? Satan's. One good thing about God's plan is he tells us what that plan is. In his instruction book. He's not hiding anything. He wants us to know who he is, what he's like, and what he wants us to do. He wants us to know that. And he wants us to know why we're doing what he told us to do. In fact, he even gives us incentives and blessings if we're obedient. Satan doesn't do any of those things. He wants us to do things on a very deceptive level. He doesn't want us to know why we're doing it. He just wants to lead us down a path of destruction, all the while thinking we're going down a good path. That's what Satan wants to do. That's not what God does. God wants clarity. God wants to give us clarity. So a person that has prudence and is exercising prudence, they carefully evaluate the decisions of today in light of tomorrow. Remember, the opposite of prudence is indulgent. Think about that word for just a minute. Indulgent. Indulgent is when you go overboard in something. How many of you have played video games before? I sure have. And I found myself, after a good while, thinking to myself, how in the world did I spend that much time doing this? Have you ever done that, right? It happens also with food. We eat something, and man, it tastes good. So good that we get another bite, or another slice, or another cookie, or a second helping, whatever. And we eat that, and it's still real good. So we get even more. Only to later, about an hour or two, find out, I shouldn't have done that. I'm hurting because of it, right? Why? Because we were being indulgent. We were doing something. We were making a decision without the future in mind. Right? It happens also with our phone or computer. We scroll and scroll and scroll, and all of a sudden we look at the clock and an hour has passed, or maybe two. And we wonder, how in the world did I get sucked into this? Only to find that we do exactly what Solomon called the dog that returns to his vomit. And we do it again. That's not prudence. That's being indulgent. The opposite of prudence is also squandering, unthrifty, or wasteful. That's when you're driving home from work and you know there's a meal there, or maybe leftovers from yesterday, but you're hungry right now. So what do? You pull over somewhere and you spend $18 just for you to eat something. It's only $18, not too much. Until you add it up over a 30-day period, and then it's much. Is that being prudent, or is that being unthrifty or wasteful? We look at it as just maybe a bad decision. God calls it sin when we're being wasteful. When we're being unthrifty, squandering, indulgent. You know, we are stewards of God's resources. It is not my money. It's God's. All of it. Not just 10%. It's all His. And He puts it in my hand. And then He tells me what to do with it in the instruction booklet. And if I don't follow the instructions, then what happens? Bad things happen. That's what happens. It's not my house. It's His house. It's not my car or my truck. It's His. I need to treat it like it's His. This isn't my body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and according to the Apostle Paul, it was bought with a price, and a steep one. We are not our own, we are His. We are only a steward of this body. And when we put things in our body that aren't good for it, or we put too much of something in our body that's not good for it, that is not being prudent. And down the road, sometimes it's only 30 minutes and sometimes it's 20 years. But down the road, we're going to see the consequences of our bad choices, our sin. The prudent person recognizes that their future hinges on the choices that they make today. And deliberately avoid rash and unthought out decisions that would destroy their future benefits. None of us can see into the future. But all of us know the past is a good teacher for the potential outcomes of the future. You ever heard that? The past is the teacher for the future. You ever heard that? Whoever come up with that comment had probably either themselves or someone else close to them had gone back to their vomit like that dog did. And they made a bad choice, paid for it, suffered pain because of it, and then in a short period of time went back and did the same thing. We look at them and we go, what were they thinking? And then we do the same thing, don't we? We're not being prudent. Why are we not being prudent? It may be because we don't have prudence. It may be that we don't have prudence because we're not seeking God for it. When I was 18 years old, I grew up in a good church, Bible-believing church. I had listened to thousands of sermons. I had memorized the Romans Road along with lots of other scriptures. And I remember driving down the road in my first vehicle, and I was thinking to myself, I don't need to keep reading my Bible. I've got so much Bible up here, it's not even funny. I'm smart enough to make some good decisions. I don't need to keep seeking God's Word for wisdom. Boy, was that a mistake. Because just a couple of years later, I found myself doing things that I would have never thought I would do. Thinking things that I would have never thought I would have had crossed my mind. Listening to stuff on the radio that I would have never listened to 2 years before that. And I learned something. I do need God. I need a daily habit of seeking Him. On my best days, on my most successful, happiest days, I need God just as much on that day that I need Him when the days are dark and I don't know what to do. And I'm just grabbing at straws trying to find ways to come up with a decent decision. I need God the same on both of those days. You do too. We may not have prudence. That might be why we're not making prudent choices. And that might be because we're not seeking Him. We read Proverbs 14:8, where Solomon talks about this thing of prudence. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But then what does he say at the end of the verse? But the folly of fools is deceit. The folly or the mistake of foolish people is deceit or deception. In other words, without prudence, your only other option is to be deceived. Of course, that's none of us. Or maybe it is. You know, you don't know it when you're deceived. If I had if I asked for a raise of hands this morning, how many of you are deceived today? No one's going to raise their hand, right? Why is that? By the way, you can go to the bar and ask the same question and get the same results. You can go to the prison and in front of a group of men ask the same question and might get a little bit different result. But even still, there's going to be a lot of them there that are not going to raise their hand. You don't know it when you're deceived, or else it wouldn't be deception. The great deceiver deceives us with things that we think are good. He doesn't jump out in front of us in a red suit, this long pointy tail and a pitchfork and says, "I'm Satan, follow me. I want to destroy you." Of course not. We wouldn't do it. No, what he does is he uses things that are good to pull us away from the things that are best. Then that thing that is good becomes sin because it's not what God said to do. Remember, that's what he did with Jesus. Turn that stone into bread. You're hungry. It's not sin to perform a miracle. It's not sin to turn the stone into bread. But it would have been for Jesus, because God didn't tell him to do it. Satan did. So that good thing become sin. Jump off this building and prove who you really are. That's what Satan does. He brings things in front of us that don't appear to be bad in and of themselves, and we take the bait without prudence. But with prudence, it's very clear, just as clear as it was with Jesus when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Just as clear. No, you can't see the future. I can't either. What we can do is get some prudence from God by seeking Him, by seeking His Word, by studying His Word, meditating on His Word. Every man is right in his own eyes. That's why none of us would raise their hands when I ask who's deceived in here. Because we're all right in our own eyes. But we're wise to say to God, "God, search my heart. Point out my sin. I don't see it. I see everybody else's, but I don't see mine. Show me my sin. Help me to see it so that I can make things right with you." When we have sweet, open communion with God, He's going to give us prudence. So that when the great deceiver comes up and he tries to deceive us, we're going to see right through his scheme. We're going to reject it. And we're going to stay on the straight and narrow path. And we're going to be thankful for that. But when we're not seeking God, we're not going to have prudence. Even as a Christian, even as a saved individual, we're not going to have that prudence. And we're going to make choices. I don't care who you are, how old you are, how long you've been in church. None of that matters. If you don't have prudence, you're going to make some bad choices that are going to hurt you and hurt those that you love the most. Seek God daily. We need Him. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Father, I pray that Your will be done today in all of us. Lord, it's evident that you made us for fellowship. Father, there's things that have come between you and us that's caused division. And Lord, the result of that is a break in fellowship and a lack of prudence. We're opened up to the deceptions of the devil. Lord, I pray that you would draw us back to yourself. Lord, help us to see the importance of fellowshipping with you. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to 505.